So welcome to this first session inside of the afternoon. So my name is Christoph Ferenc. So I'm from the Neomitic company. So most of the works that I'm doing is more system development, also a lot of Windows CE development, which is the operating system underneath the Windows Phone application level. And in the context of this session, I will give you some view of the development of an application. So the idea of this session is to see all the different steps of making a Windows Phone application. Regarding this application, I had many different choices for doing this session, or make a kind of generic application, just showing some functionalities, or I did another choice. So I'm also a member of the Mythic user group, and in the context of this user group, we are making training sessions on Windows courses or Microsoft products. And so my idea was, why not making an application that just display onto the Windows Phone the different cursors that are on the agenda, and through making this application, performing all the different steps of creating an application, but also thinking about what are the different questions that we will have when deciding to make a Windows Phone application. So the idea here is to make a Windows Phone application, which is already done. So I will not write a lot of code during this session. So the idea is, instead of the main screen, to have a small menu. So I decide not to use the application bar, but to put some buttons onto my screen to display the different cursors that are actually scheduled. And where people are subscribed to follow these cursors, to have another link to the full agenda, and to provide all kind of features around this functionality. So it's a real application that I begin to develop 2 days ago. So I'm a developer, I'm not an infographist, so the graphical part of this application will be reviewed by some people which has a more graphical feeling than I have. So I'm really a developer and not an infographist. So sorry for the graphical side of my application. When it will be published, it will be smoother and more beautiful. But here we will concentrate on the technical part of this application. So I started this application about 2 days ago from scratch. So I wrote first the web services that allow me to retrieve the information coming from our server. And then I started to, on a white paper, doing my Windows Phone application. So the first thing that we have to know when making a Windows Phone application is that it's a real development, which means we don't just go inside of Visual Studio, begin to develop, and then on the flow of the water, just adding some features or saying, I will make this screen or adding this other screen. All those different things has to be thinked first and prior to begin really to code inside of Visual Studio. And so there are different steps that must be done when creating a Windows Phone application, and also try to minimize the amount of work that has to be done to develop the Windows Phone application. So inside of the different steps, one of the first steps will be to define, okay, what will be the screens, or will I be able to navigate inside of my application? What are the functionalities that I want to provide through my Windows Phone application? Once I have decided basically the context of my application, with the different screens, the functionalities, what I want to display, next part will be to create the screen sequence. So when I make a new Windows Phone application, the first thing that I do is designing all my different screens, just the screen, but an empty screen, implementing all the navigation in between the different screens, and then trying out my application to test out, okay, I go from the main page to my detailed page and those kind of things. Is my sequence well designed? Will I have all the different screens regarding the functionalities that I want to provide through my application? So once the different screens are designed, next part of my development handle the data itself. So as I told you, all the different data are coming from my online server, which means that I will call web services to retrieve my information. But only handling this data coming from an online service was not enough. So I don't know who has a smartphone inside of the room. Okay, who is a developer? Who develop applications for smartphones, whatever kind? Okay, who is connected all the time to the network with a smartphone? Who has a smartphone and who is not all the time connected? So the real response is, you are not always connected to internet. Because when you use your smartphone, even if you think that you are connected, in some places, you will have no reception, no data reception. Also, if you try to make a real connection to something and try to keep this connection, if you are moving from one cellular antenna to another cellular antenna, maybe that you will use or lose this signal and you will lose your network connection. And each time you have to reconnect, check out if your connection is valid, etc., etc. So this means that regarding the way I wanted my application to run is that even if the end user don't have a network connection, can be cellular or Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi, I wanted this user to be able to continue to keep and to read this this information on his phone without having this connection. So the second step of handling the retrieval of this data was to store this data locally inside of my application and inside of the phone. So on this step, so everything is done up to now inside of the emulator, I wanted also to enhance the user experience of my application. So by enhancing the user experience, it's not making my application more beautiful. I don't have the capabilities to do that. I'm not a graphist, just a developer. So the way I will be able to do that at my level will be to add what we call tiles. So does anyone, everybody knows what's a tile? Who doesn't know what's a tile? Who knows what's a tile? Okay. So the tile is one of the pictures which is on the main menu. And what's happening with most of the applications running Windows Phone or whatever kind of other smartphone, the end user installs the application, begin to use this application, and then in most of the cases, after 10, 15 days, your application will not be used anymore. So those are some statistics that are existing, which means that most of the applications will be used in the first days after the end user will install this application. So to be able to add an extra value to my application, I added a way to add a tile on top of the main screen so that the end user will be able just to follow if there are some new subscribers to some courses without having to go inside of my application. And in this way, a user which is interested in following one of the trainings will be able, through the main screen, just to follow, okay, I see that there are some subscribers, there are enough subscribers so that the course will be given, so I will be able to subscribe myself. But if I have to do each time going inside of my application, checking out for his course if there are enough subscribers, it will take too much time. And so having a quick view inside of the main screen was for me very important to provide through my application. So I enhanced my application through this the styles. So basically, my application was done. Time to go to a real device. So most of the things that I did up to now was just to try out, instead of the emulator, retrieving my information, because I was on my PC, I know that my network connection was always there. I was connected through a cable. I know that the speed and the user experience in scrolling my screens and all those kind of things were very smooth, because my PC is 4-core, has a lot of RAM, has a huge and a powerful CPU. But what's happening with this same application when it runs really onto the real device? So I tested out my application and found that there were some lagging at some places that I didn't see inside of my emulator. And so I had to check out why my application was lagging inside of the real device and correct so that my application was fluent onto the real device. So the next step is the publishing part. So my application is not yet published for many different reasons. The first one, it is not finished yet, which is maybe the most important reason why it is not published. But also, there are some couple of optimizations that has to be done. And my application will not pass the certification step today. We'll see why later on. So those are basically the different steps that were done for the application. And I will now focus for each of those different steps on in which way I made my implementation, what are the things that I put in foreground regarding this implementation. So the first thing is the sketch flow and the UI prototyping. So when designing my application, and when we design an application, the first thing really to know about it are what will I display onto my screen? What are the sequence of the different screens that I want to provide? Will I use a pivot? Will I use a panorama? Will I use just a sequence of screens? What is the content that I want to display? Is it just text? Is it images? Will my application be used as a real mobile device? So this means you are walking in the street, you are driving inside of your car, and you want to use this application. This means that I will need to minimize the amount of information displayed onto the screen. Or will it be an application that runs on the Windows Phone, but that will be used behind the desk when you are sitting, and when you will be able to read things onto the screen where the font is smaller? So I chose that my application will be used not when just driving inside of my car or when I'm walking inside of the screen. So this means that the fonts that I will use and the information that I will display, to be able to be read easily, you have to fully concentrate onto the screen of your Windows Phone device. So this means that inside of the prototyping and the screen sequence, there are a lot of different questions that you have to ask you. And the first thing will be, in which context will your application be used? If it will be used in a real mobile way, which means you will use your phone with one hand, in most of the cases, you will not have your phone just in front of your eyes, but it will be about 1 meter from your eyes. In this context, you will need to use large fonts, minimize the amount of information that is displayed onto the screen. So in my case, and we will see that through the different snapshots, the amount of information that has to be displayed is large, which means that I have to put onto the small screen a lot of text, meaning I minimize the font size. So my application will be used only when I will be able to use my device with my two eyes, where I'm sitting behind my desk or not really doing something else. But it's my choice. Okay. And depending what you want to provide, you will have to design your screens in a different way. You have real mobile devices, real mobile applications, sorry, and then applications that you will be able to use on your phone, but where you need to fully be concentrated on what you are reading onto your phone. So the second question is, what is the information I want to display? What are the features I want to provide to my application? So here, for the training website, so there is a real training website where the user will have all the informations a resume of all the different modules that will be given, all the different prices, and all the information that is needed really to subscribe to a course. There are links and also forms that are present to be able to just subscribe. And when making the application, I had two different possibilities. The first one is to provide all the functionalities that are present onto the website. But this means that I need to handle a lot of screens. And also, for all the subscription part, the end user has to fill in a lot of information inside of the subscription form. But encoding stuff inside and through the Windows Phone is something which is not really handy. And so my decision that I take was just to say, okay, I will not implement all the features that are provided through the website, but I will just give a look and a way to track what are the different courses that are available and when those courses will be given. So one of the next steps that you will have to do, and one of the questions that you have to give a response, will be what kind of context, what are the features that I want to provide through my mobile application? Will it be all the features? Or is there any alternative, like a website or something else, or a standalone application that will allow me to do all the features? Okay. So in my case, I chose to just give an online view of what's happening, but no way to subscribe on a cursus through the Windows Phone application. For that purpose, the end user will have to go to a normal PC and use a website to subscribe. Next question that we will have to respond to is, how will I display my information? In which colors? So instead of the Windows Phone, by default, the end user will be able to choose between two color themes. So a black background, a white background. And for each of those backgrounds, we'll have a set of different colors that you will be able to choose. Inside of my application, I will be able to just use those predefined colors depending the choice of the user. Or another possibility, the one that I chose, is to use all the different colors that exist through my website so that the end user will find back all the information in the same colors that are inside of my web server and also inside of my web application, inside of my Windows Phone application, sorry. So I chose to hard code inside of my application all the different colors that I use for designing my screens. So there are a lot of other questions that you will have to respond to about how many screens, if what kind of controls that you will use. Do you use a pivot, a panorama, or just a sequence of screens? So this will depend on the content that you will have to provide through your application. So once I have the big picture of my application, the different screens, the way I will display my information, the color choice, next step will be to begin really the implementation. So, of course, I will choose the Windows Phone device to be able to run my application. And when I start my Visual Studio, one of the first things that is asked will be, for what kind of target do you want to create my application? And there, inside of the Dropbox, I see you can do it for 7.0 or 7.1. So a little bit strange, because I want to do it for Mango, which is, as I read somewhere on the internet, the version 7.5. But I don't have this possibility. But what's behind is that, unfortunately for us as a developer, the version numbers in between the application level of the phone and the operating system level are different. So inside of the Windows Phone's 7.5, is running Windows CE 7.1. And so inside of Visual Studio, when you want to make an application for Windows Mango, Windows Phone 7.5, you will have to choose the operating system Windows CE 7.1. Okay. So there is a misuse of those numbers on the internet also. If you make a search on Mango, some of the publishings will talk about 7.5, some will talk about 7.1. But those numbers just define two different parts of the phone itself. One, the application level, which is Mango Windows Phone 7.5, and the other one will be the operating system, which is Windows CE 7.1, which is the operating system level versioning number. So in my case, I chose 7.1, which is the designated target operating system for my Windows Mango phone. And one of the main differences between selecting 7.0 and 7.1 will be that your application will be generated or in Silverlight 3 or in Silverlight 4. So choosing the last version automatically switch you to a project that is based on Silverlight 4, which provides a lot of new features that we will be able to use as a developer. One other thing will be the emulator. So during the first development steps, I never try out my application or never debug directly onto my real device. It takes longer to deploy the application. I need to have my device somewhere onto my desk. And so I use directly the emulator. So just a little question, who already develop applications onto the Windows phone? Okay, so I have two people. Okay, so when creating my application, so it's a little bit boring to have my real device and to have all the time to just try it out onto my real device. So I use the Windows phone emulator. So inside of the Windows phone emulator, I just started up here. This emulator gives you the full emulation of a real phone. Of course, there are some functionalities that cannot be done inside of this emulator. You cannot call your PC, and you will not be able to answer to any call with it. But at the application level, you will be able to emulate a lot of things, but also emulate some of the different devices that are part of the emulator. So we'll just show you one thing that allow you just to emulate the accelerator. So each time that you move this point, the device driver inside of the emulator of the accelerator will just receive those movements, and you will be able inside of your device, inside of your emulator, to test out those accelerations. Of course, usage of the accelerometer inside of most of the applications is not really relevant, but for a mobile application, usage of the positioning itself is something which is more used. And inside of the new version of Mango and inside of the different tools that are provided with Mango, you have been able also to emulate the GPS positioning through and inside of your emulator, which means that you will be able to zoom onto the streets and then begin to position to pinpoint on the map different positions. And each time you pinpoint a new position, the fake device driver inside of the emulator will just receive this new position and will do like if the current position of this emulator phone will be this position. And so you don't have any needs to have a real device to test out applications that need positioning. And it's also more convenient when you want to debug your application when it will receive different positions. Suppose you want to make an application that just travels across the different streets. If you want to debug it at the same time, you need your device, you need your laptop, and you have to just walk to the street, which is not really easy to as a development environment. Okay, so this is for the emulator. So next step, the user interface. So when designing my different screens, I decide, onto my main page, I will have the view of what are the cursors that are given. I will be able to get some information about the way the Mytic training is functioning. And then you have the full list of all the different cursors. You will have also a detailed view of it. And so you will be able to navigate from one screen to another one. So maybe the most important thing regarding the user experience is when making a Windows Phone application, you have to try to figure out how it will be used on top of the phone. And also the way the phone will define the navigation inside of an application. So as you can see, the Windows Phone has a back button, will have a Windows button, a search button, and then something which is onto the screen. So if you want to navigate, you have to take a way to be able so that the end user, when performing the back operation, always go back to the previous screen inside of a kind of tree of screens, with at the top the main screen. Okay. So avoiding to make loops, because otherwise if I go from screen 1 to screen 2, screen 2 to screen 3, screen 3 to screen 2, the end user, when he will perform a back operation, will be lost inside of the sequence of the different screens. Okay. So it's really important when designing your application to follow the different rules regarding this navigation from screen to screen and having this back button that allows going back to one particular point. So next thing that has to be done inside of the implementation will be the data handling. So in my case, I have a lot of different trainings. Related to those trainings, I will have a short description, I will have a full description, I will have a list of different modules that are displayed. And first thing that I need to choose is what will I really display to the end user? What are the informations that I want onto my Windows Phone application? Should I display everything? No. Because when I see the full description, all the list of the different modules, the resume of all those different modules, this means that I will have kilometers of screen to scroll to be able to read everything. So my idea was just to concentrate and to have a kind of resume, just providing the end user the ability to track what are the resources that are been given and to be able to subscribe later on through a real PC. But because I have all this information that is coming from my web server, if I don't have any more any data access, what's happening to my application? I want to make a call to my web service, and I receive back an error saying, okay, network is not available, there is some timeout, or maybe my web server is shut down, maybe it crashed, whatever kind of reason. From my application, I don't have any more access to my data. So in my case, I wouldn't allow the user to just have some empty screens. So I needed just to save a kind of cache locally inside of my application so that if I don't have any more any data access or this data is not more available from the server, the end user will be able to continue to use it. Okay. And so in my case, I use it SQL CE. So behind SQL CE, I have a real relational SQL engine. Or I could choose also another way of working, which is working with files, flat files, instead of the isolated storage. So I will just show you some parts of the code, the source code. And if I take the data part on top of my data, I just define the way I will map my information inside of my SQL Server engine. So the way I may be able to do that is just by creating my training database that derives from data context. Inside of that, I will have different kind of tables, one that defines all the trainings that are available, which is represented by a table, a training row, and also all the different prices regarding to this this training. Then, just below, I will describe my training row itself, which contains a unique ID that I will use a little bit everywhere to reference this training. I will have a title, a subject, But from my web server, I don't retrieve all the resumes and all the description of all the modules, etc., because I want to minimize the amount of information that will be transferred also onto the network. And so keeping only the informations that I want to display onto my application. So the main advantage of doing that is that I just describe my database, which will run locally onto the Windows Phone. And inside of my code, I will be able to use just some link statements on top of that, just to gather, if I want this specific training with this particular training ID, and I don't have to implement anything to parse my files, to get back one particular training, to see what's the price of this particular training. Everything is linked inside of my database, inside of my relational database. And so, inside of my application, instead of having an XML file that I have to scan, or a flat file, or a binary file that I need to parse and know how many lines, etc., etc., I just rely on the capabilities of the Mango version to handle a SQL Server engine inside of the phone. I don't have to provide it even with my deployment packets. So I will not have an overload of my deployment packet because it is just provided inside of the operating system. And so inside of my implementation, all the different trainings will be represented in a row inside of one of my tables, and then I will have for each training a list of different prices depending the number of people subscribing to the training. So this is the choice that I did. Why? Because it's easy. Doesn't need a lot of implementation to parse the files, to make queries depending the different informations that are inside of it. So it was easier and faster also for the development part. And I will just manipulate my data coming from my SQL CE server, like if it were just a list of objects, and this through some link statements that make it very easy to handle. So, next part of my application is to enhance the user experience. So if I take my application, I will take the emulator back. So inside of my application, if I start it, I will have my main screen that will give the list of the cursors that are given now. I will have also, of course, access to the full agenda so that the user can just by clicking in, checking out, okay, what's the price, how many persons are already subscribed, etc., etc. Now, once I have this information, I have a need to follow a training, so I want to track some particular trainings, but I see, of course, that there is a linked Windows Phone application to this website. I install it inside of my phone. I'm using this application inside of my phone, and then the day after, I begin to forget that my application is installed onto the phone. So I don't have the reflex just to start up my application again and again, just to see, okay, will these cursors be given or not? What is the current price of this session? So I don't addict my user just to keep track of the different cursors. And so in the different ways that we will be able to handle that in the Windows Phone is I can, of course, pinpoint my application to the start menu, which means that each time my user will start up my the phone, it will be able, instead of the main screen, just to see, okay, yeah, I installed this application. I need to check out this application in a periodical way just to keep track of the training that I want to follow. Now, the main advantage of the Mango version is that instead of just providing a shortcut to my application, I will be able to add what we call secondary tiles. So this is a technical way to do, is to add secondary tiles. So inside of the main shortcut, when I click on it, I will have my application. But if I need to check out, okay, the cursors that I want to follow, which is not inside of this list, I need first to go inside of the full agenda. Then I need to gather the information. And here I will be able to see the number of persons who just subscribed to this course. The way I'm being able to do that and to give this information directly to the main screen will be to add a tile. And so by adding a tile, I will be able to, I will be able inside of the main screen to create another kind of shortcut inside of it that will not start up directly my application, but that will directly go inside of a particular page of my application. I will be able also to add on top of the icon a number, so it's empty up to now, but it will increase each time that there will be some users who just subscribe to this kind of cursors. And so from within this this tile, the end user don't have to start up the application just to keep track on how many persons subscribe to these cursors. And when he see, okay, I want to subscribe when I will be the person number 5, it will just wait, checking out the main screen, when the counter will be up to 5, and then go in to subscribe to the training. Okay. And so this will be done in a very easy way. If we just take a look on the source code of that part, I will go to the training detail screen. And checking out my detail screen, I have my button, which is going to follow this particular training and create a tile inside of the main screen. So as you can see, inside of the source code, I first check if this tile still exists or not. If I detect that my tile doesn't exist, I will create a new one and just defining as title the title of the course, the training, and the current number of persons who register to this particular training. And then I just specify shell tile create, and I will also give inside of this new tile just a URL that will allow me to navigate inside directly of my application to a particular page. So if I take back my my emulator, if I click this time onto this shortcut, I will not go to the main menu, but I will directly go to a detailed page that displays how many persons subscribed, what is the current price, and all the information that are needed for my user to know what's happening when it just go from the icon directly inside of my application. And so there is a way now in Mango not to create only a shortcut to my application, but to create a shortcut to a specific page, an internal page of my application, so that the end user don't have to navigate from page to page to page to arrive to this detailed page. Of course, now the end user, which is commonly using my application, arrives to a detailed page, but directly from a shortcut. So this means that inside of the backstack, the way of navigating inside of my application, if the user performs a back operation here, it will just go to the main screen. So I want to allow my user also to be able from through this shortcut to go to the detail page, and then to a particular menu point to go back to my main page, so that it will be able to begin to use normally my application. So if you remember, I will show it later on. So I will go back to my main page. And now the user being inside of my main page, so the normal way of acting for an application which is located onto the main page, if the user performs the back operation, will be to get out of my application. So I will need to restore this navigation. And in this case, when performing the back operation, I will go out of my application. And so this can be done really easily. If I get back to my code, I will have a specific menu that will appear, which is go to my main page. So I have my link to my main page. This button will be displayed only if on the loading of this page, I detect that I cannot go back. This means if I cannot go back, I have a direct shortcut to my page. If I'm using normally my application and I go from my main page to the detailed page, by asking the navigation stack if I can go back to the previous page of my application, it will say, yes, you can. If the system says, no, you cannot go back to another page of your application, this means that I displayed this page directly. And so, regarding to this button, that will be visible only when I come from my shortcut. If I'm coming to the normal navigation of my application, it will not be displayed in this way. So going back to my emulator, so if I go from my shortcut, I'm coming here, I display, go to the main menu. Instead of my main menu, if I go back to the detailed page, I don't have the ability to go back to the main menu because the normal way is to use the back button. Okay. So resetting the navigation stack is also very easy. If I take my main page, and checking out the onNavigate, in the same way, if I am inside of my main page and I can go back, this means I have a previous page inside of my application, then I will just remove the back entry of my navigation stack. Because the only way to arrive to the main page and having some page of my application that is inside of the back stack is when I use the shortcut from the secondary tile to go to my detailed page, from my detailed page to the main page. This means that in the sequence, I have this detailed page that is prior to my main page. So I just, if I come from the detailed page, I will just reset the navigation stack so that my main page begins and continue to be the first page of my my application. Now I have my my application now running. I created a shortcut onto the main screen. I created a secondary tile to my main screen so that the end user will be able to follow what's happening even if he don't start the application. But this means that my application, if the user don't touch anymore his device, don't start anymore my application, that my application will not get back the new information coming from my web server. In this way, if I just perform, I start my application and then I start another application, my application is maybe still existing inside of the memory, but will not run anymore. So I need, in some way, to be able to update my values, to update the number of persons who subscribe to the training without starting my application. And so again, Windows Mango provides a new feature which are the background agents that are allowing me to do some treatment in background, which is not my application, but a kind of small part of my application that will be scheduled and that will be executed every 30 minutes. Okay. So any background operations that can be done onto the phone are only scheduled operations that will be occurring only every 30 minutes during 15 seconds. And inside of those 15 seconds, you will be able to perform what you want. It can be just figuring out if there are some new cursors and updating your local database with those new cursors, but also checking out if there are some new subscribers. And if there are some new subscribers, just update the icon of my main screen. And in this way, every 30 minutes, my background agent will just check out, are there any new subscribers to this training? If there is a new subscriber, I will just update the counter. And in this way, through the main screen, my end user will just see, okay, I have this counter, which is fine. I just hit this shortcut. I go to the training. I can see if really there are some number of subscribers which are subscribed to the course. And then maybe go to the real website to subscribe myself. Okay. So this means that my application, without having to be started all the time, I will be able, through the secondary tiles or to the main tile, to add some extra features, some extra user experience to the end user without having to just start up each time my application to gather the last information. With one quick view, instead of my main screen, I will be able to see if I need to go to my application or not. Okay. So those secondary tiles are really important in the way that I will be able to make the end user in some way addicted to the information that I will provide to my application. Okay. Otherwise, if I don't add this functionality, the end user must first each time start my application, find it inside of the list of all the different applications, navigate inside of the list of all the different available trainings, and maybe if he wants to follow a Windows Server 2008 training, he don't cares about development trainings. He don't cares about other kind of trainings. So with this way, he will be able to focus his attention onto a particular information that he wants to retrieve from the website or from or through my application. Through the usage of the background agents, again, he will be able to update that. Just to give you a view of the code that is behind, I will not explain, of course, all the code, but just to give you a view of it. So if I take my background agent, so the idea of the background agent is really simple. Each time that I start up my my background agent, I will just enumerate. I have access, of course, to all the training database of my application because the agents and the application itself will share the same resources, the same database, the same files. And so inside of my background agent, I will just enumerate all the different tiles. I don't care about all the different other trainings. This, when the user will start up my application next time, there will be synchronization of the new trainings. The only thing that I want to gather here are the trainings that the end user want to see through those shortcuts. And so the easiest way for me to do that is not to keep track inside of a database of what are the trainings that the user wants to track, and just to enumerate the secondary tiles and the tiles that are present onto the main screen. And when I find the signature of one of my tiles, I will be able to retrieve the ID of the training which is associated to this tile, and then call my web service to know, okay, how many subscribers are there now? And the value that will be given back, I will just update the content of my tile and the number which is associated with the new information that is coming from my web server. And so in this way, I will be able, every 30 minutes, to update the number of subscribers, to give this information through those shortcuts to my end user. And if my end user is somewhere triggered by a particular number, it will just hit this shortcut, go to the training, or subscribe later with through the web server. So the usage of those tiles and those background agents allow you to perform operations periodically, so every 30 minutes, to perform a background operation that is updating the tile, that is updating a database, making some synchronization, etc., etc. Okay. There is no way to reduce this amount of time, so you will not be able to just schedule your background agent every second or half of a second. So making an application that just gives you a real-time view of one of the parameters of the phone is not possible, because you will have only a snapshot that you will be able to do every 30 minutes if your background agent is scheduled. Oops. So next step, I have developed my application, designed all the different screens, tested out inside of the emulator. So next step will be to test my application onto the real device. Up to now, I tested everything inside of the emulator. Everything was going fine. It was smart, smooth, fast, whatever. But when I tested for the first time inside of my real device, of course, the network was slower. And when I first synchronized my database for the first time, I did it just by launching my application. The first operation that I do is just get the last list of all the different trainings and begin my communication with my server onto my PC. The amount of time used to perform the synchronization was about 2 seconds. If I use that onto my real device, I figure out that it was taking 5.7 seconds. Unfortunately, for an application to be accepted to the marketplace, your application has to be started up in lesser than 5 seconds. So my application will be refused if I just publish it now to the marketplace. So just figuring out, okay, it's slower onto my real device, but slower because of what? What is the portion of code which is taking a long time? Where will I be able to optimize? Or will I be able to just complain with the certification rules? May I do something in background? Will I do the synchronization stuff in background so that the main page will be displayed first or faster? So regarding to those different parameters, I need to decide to modify a little bit the architecture of the data handling of my application. And to be able to figure out where I will be able to make my optimization or where it's taking a lot of time, previously, we had just to follow the code in a step-by-step way, putting some breakpoints. But because we put some breakpoints, we modify all the timings of execution of my application. And inside of the Mango version, inside of the last SDK, we have what we call the profiler. So the profiler, if I take my Visual Studio, taking back my emulator, being sure that my application is not running, okay, I can just start up my application. Didn't check the right button, I think. Not easy to see my screen from there. Okay. So I will be able to start the Windows Phone analysis. Okay, I should be able to do that onto the real device. Here, for the purpose of the demonstration, I will do it inside of the emulator. And when just starting my application in this way, Visual Studio will add some extra information inside of my deployment package that will just gather how many times I will go inside of a function, what are the functions that I'm calling, how many times I will go inside of those functions. And after this this analyze, I will be able to retrieve a graph. So if I just perform one operation, which is updating here, and I will go out. Okay, so it will detect my application will be finished. Retrieving all the different informations about the execution plan of my application. So if I see the different parts, so this is the launch time. When I launch my application, the system will also give me already some hints about, okay, you are using a lot of CPU usage. The one that uses a lot of CPU usage, is the UE thread, which is not normal for a normal application, because normally UE just is a kind of event mentional thread which receives events and that will act regarding those events. So if there are some huge amount of processing that has to be done, you should do that in a background thread. And so through the execution of the profiler, I will be able just to focus on where I will be able to optimize my application and what I will be able to do in a different way. So in this case, this is the execution, and I will have a lot of stuff here. This is when I just go from my main page to the secondary page, so the one that displays the list of all the different trainings. And so up to you to just figure it out, okay, what's happening, when it is happening. So I know regarding the execution that I did that this part will be the switch from my main page to my list of training page. And I will be able, inside of that, to just focus on, okay, what's happening inside of this this part. I will be able to choose the CPU usage. I see the different threads that we're executing. So I see that those two threads are doing most of the job inside of this part. Choosing the user interface thread, I will be able to see the function calls that are done. And for each function, I will be able just to zoom to know how many times the function was called, how many times it takes to execute that, and then optimize this particular part. So this is for the next step, which is going from my emulator environment to the real-world device, where I will be, in some cases, I will need to optimize a little bit my execution to modify a little bit the way I will synchronize my data. And next step will be to publish my application. So as I told you, I'm not ready to publish this this application because the publishing process will be done in different steps. The first step is you create your package. You have to fill in all kind of informations, and then you will submit your application so that Microsoft will just certify your application. Your application will be tested out by Microsoft before it will be available to the end user. And to be able to be accepted and certified to the marketplace, there are a lot of different tests that are performed on my application. And inside of the new version of Mango and the different tools that are provided, inside of Visual Studio, there is already a way to test out some of the different things that will be tested by the certification steps. So if I take back my application, just closing this one, I will switch to the release mode because the tools that will test out if my application is ready to go to market or not will test out the real application, the one that you will submit, and will be the release one. And inside of my project, I will have somewhere, just figuring out where it is. It's not there. It's not easy to have the screen so far. So where is it located? No. I don't see where it is located. Okay. Just building it again. We have the analysis and should be somewhere. Sorry? Should be somewhere here.
Right click on the project name in Solution Explorer. The project name, sorry.
Okay, I have it there. So instead of the marketplace test kit, what's happening is that when you publish your application, you need to provide different images. You have to provide screenshots, a description, a version number, and all those kind of informations. But your application must be tested. And all those different tests will be done by Microsoft prior to deploy your application to the marketplace, and so that the end users will be able to run it on their device. To know if your application will pass or fails those certifications, instead of waiting those 2-3 days in between the, when you publish your application and when you execute it, you'll be able to test out some of the tests locally onto your computer. So you can run this this test. So this will check out only the structure of the XAP file. So in this case, all my different tests have just passed it. Then I have monitored tests. So the monitored tests, I will try it onto the real device. I will start my application. Just unlocking my phone. And I will start my application. This means that the system will just deploy it to my real device and begin to gather some informations about how my application will run onto my, my real device. So in this case, we can see a little bit that my application is starting up. I will be able to switch to the list of all the different things. Then I will perform the back operation, going out of my application. And the system will just detect that my application is ending and will retrieve back all the informations that were gathered. And there I see, regarding the first part, that my application fails one of the tests. So this means that if I just publish my application in this way, Microsoft internally will perform the same tests on this application. If it fails onto my computer, onto my device, it will probably fail also onto the device that they are using at their test center. And so if I check out the reason why my application fails, my application fails because it has taken 6.1 seconds to start, and inside of the certification requirements, it has to be started up in 5 seconds. And so it will be up to me now to just take back my application and optimize the startup of my application, trying that my application will start in lesser than 5 seconds. Once I will be able to run my application and all those different tests locally will succeed, then up to me to just begin publication step where I will give the name of my application, I will define the associated deployment package, which is a ZAP file, numbering for which kind of market, globally, locally, etc., etc. So watch out, inside of the Mango release, we can publish it as a public application, a private application, or a beta application. Many developers just go through this beta version, and when it is published onto the marketplace, so I will be able to test it for a short time, and my application will disappear after this short time. So the main problem when facing the deployment and the publishing as a beta version, and then to deploy later on the real application, is if you use the same name, you may not have a beta version and an application that has the same name. A beta version and an application must have a unique ID which is different, and the unique ID for your application will be the application name regarding the internal databases of Microsoft. So this means that if you publish a beta version, just publish the name of your application with beta 1, beta 2, or whatever, but leave the real name of your application open so that when the beta session is ended and you want to publish your real application, that you will be able to use the name of your application that you have chosen for that. So this is for the creation of my application. So last slide and conclusion of this this speaking. So here the application and everything that was being done for that, I take it 1 day to do that. So of course the optimization steps and the graphical side of it has to be increased a little bit. Of course, creating your own applications is in some way really easy. If you have some small knowledge of .NET, we'll be able to really quickly go and begin development on Windows Phone 7. So download the tools. There is also another tools that can be used to create the sequence of the different screens and all the prototyping of your screens, which is Sketchflow. Develop and test onto the emulator. It's easier. But once you have finished your development, always test it out onto a real device. And if you don't have a real device, you can just contact David Terny at Microsoft so that he will be able to, so that you can maybe go to him so that you will be able to test your application directly on one of the devices that he owns. You can also, once you have published your application, promote your application onto the Belgium marketplace. So there is some part at -WP7BE which is monitored for each application that is published and that is promoted to this way. And my personal advice, just for finishing this this session, is you are developing applications for mobile devices, in this case Windows Phone. So the Windows Phone has a small screen. Inputs that are done onto the phone are not really natural. It's not really easy to really implement or put a lot of information through the input of the phone. So always keep in mind that you are working onto a mobile device and that you are not developing an application that will run onto a PC.